Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. Welcome, glad you could join us. Thank you so much for being here. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we have some unenslaving to do with regard to economic information. You know, they don't teach you how to make money in school, and they don't teach you much about money in school. And if they did, we'd really understand what the Federal Reserve was about, fractional reserve banking, on and on and on. So you have to come to places like this to get your information. And folks, I'm not exaggerating. The economic ignorance in this country, really through no fault of the citizens, is just off the charts. And so we like to have Bob Kudla back a lot to kind of put us on the straight and narrow about what's going on so you can make proper preparations for what we're going through and about what we're going to go through. Bob, welcome to the show. Glad you could be here, and we really appreciate you coming on. My audience appreciates it, and as they say, forewarned is forearmed.
Yes, I mean, thanks for having me, and I think the American people are now going through a crash course in to start paying attention. And you know, I always hate the word the American people are, you know, ignorant of these things. I think people have willful. They have a desire to not have to deal with confrontation. So we've had this clever ruse of trying to make things paper over so that people really don't start paying attention. But, you know, since the Biden election, they've made a conscious decision to create chaos. And when you create chaos, you know, you're trying to control a nuclear explosion in a bottle. And the bottle broke. And now chaos is spilling out all over the place, and it's outside of their control. And now the American people are starting to pay attention. You know, we've discussed in the past the politics of all that, but from an economic standpoint, is that you're in a situation now where it's starting to bleed everywhere. So you don't have enough skilled employees, so you're starting to see people now start demanding, you know, wages now to match the inflation that's coming. The official rate of 5.5% is incorrect. It's closer to 15.5%.
Oh my gosh!
You know, we could see it, and so you know, you have that aspect of it. So people are now. What's happening is I used a coined a term in the past called inflationary depression, where prices seem to be rising, which in the past has indicated greater wealth, but more and more of the population is not able to pace with wages. And so therefore you're going to start seeing these supply constraints start to become shortages, start to become surpluses. And this is a natural effect of inflation when you have these kind of shocks to the system. And we've had this before, you know, 2008, we're kind of, this is like a 1970s, 2008 kind of rolled up together kind of a thing. And so you have a situation where these higher costs of living, you know, the must-haves, create a situation where the nice-to-haves not get bought. And then all of a sudden the system gets shocked, Dave. It doesn't, like, start rolling over. You start getting these shocks. And that's what's going to happen here in the market. I mean, if you look at what's going on in, you know, you look at energy, you look at oil, natural gas, uranium, coal, gasoline, all up 40-50% plus. Well, wages aren't up that much, number one. And then number two, you know, you start looking at the what we call the hard commodities, right? Iron ore, you know, copper, you know, magnesium. Those things are flying higher in price as well. Potash. These are all inputs to production. And so you're going from a transitory environment to a secular environment. And this has become problematic because it gets baked in and wages don't keep up. So you have two choices, right? You know, you strike to get higher wages, which takes time, or you can't buy the stuff, and that's immediate. And that's kind of where we are. We're going to have the first one, then the second one.
Wow, that's you're giving me nightmares here while I'm awake. This is there seems to be no way out of it because you have depression and inflation at the same time. Which is going to do the economy in first, if that's where it ends up?
Well, it's in steps. So the inflation is happening right now, and then inflation begets deflation. the term inflationary depression to me is just it's just descriptive. It's saying that things on the outside look great, but on the inside you're already dead. And that's what's happening now. People just simply can't buy things. And the government, that's why the government's so desperate to pass these multi-trillion dollar stimulus packages, because they're desperate to shove money into their supporters' hands so they can maintain power. And part of the chaos I talked about is the Republicans, for once in their life, have held firm, and now it's causing chaos on the Democratic side. And some of the other politics around things we really can't talk about are starting to take its toll on them as well, you know, in the medical and the education areas. So I think all that combined is going to get people just to start sitting back. And number one, some people have to, and you know, some people can't even make it to work now, Dave. You know, when you start looking at California now, we're pushing average almost $5 a gallon. You know, in California, I think the average commute is like 35 or 40 miles. And you know, you start making it to a place where, hey, I can't even get to work, you know? And so decisions are going to be made around, you know, whether spending has to be curtailed. Same time, rents are going through the roof. So it's going to become really fast.
Do you think we'll see a return of the Nixon wage and price controls?
You know, I wouldn't put it past this government, because they're very interventionist, and so I wouldn't put anything past those people. So, but the 70s have been paralleling, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they try to do. Remember, that's what Venezuela tried to do too, and then you end up with massive shortages of everything. So it's
Well,
counterproductive.
we've already got labor shortages because of certain mandates, but I do see what you're saying about the gas prices. That could have a devastating effect on the labor market. What do you see as the major cause of the backing up of the supply ships off our ports and resulting in shortages?
Well, it looks like they've found the culprit. It's the California Air Resources Board has mandated, this is before the pandemic, mandated that no trucks over 3 years old are allowed to travel on California highways.
Oh my
And
gosh.
so you have, so basically it's created a shortage now of the newer trucks coming into the ports of California, because now the ports are running 24/7. They're stacking those shipping containers like Legos, and now they're almost full. And so you don't have enough trucks. And what's happening is that the truckers have to sit for so long to get their loads that they're just abandoning it because there's a trucker shortage. They're just going where they can make money faster. So they're abandoning the port in California, and so you're creating this issue. So what happens is a lot of these shippers are redirecting now towards the Gulf Coast in Florida and East Coast to drop off their stuff, but it costs more money and it takes longer. And until those things start to balance out, you're going to continue to have this, you know, this shortage. So it's I think we're up to 91 boats out there now. But the interesting thing is, in China, they're starting to see sales slow down, so there's not as many ships leaving the port. So this thing could balance out in about 3 to 6 months, but it destroys Christmas, and we permanently raise the cost of shipping in the country, because now shippers are going to demand more money to move their product going forward.
Yeah, I just want to throw the psychology into this for a second, Bob. I agree, there's no normal Christmas lying ahead. And the average American, which is most, are woefully ignorant of these conditions that we're talking about. But the one thing that's going to happen is you're going to have one pissed off public with regard to Christmas. And I can't see how that doesn't sink the Democrats in the next election.
You know, one would think so. And, you know, I think these guys, I truly believe, because they're true believers, Dave, you know, and so they don't really do game theory, right? True believers, they think this is their only and best shot to cause a permanent shift in the country. And I don't think, there's no, I think they thought with the pandemic, there was an overriding national psyche to get behind the country to solve something. And they realize that now, that with all the lying that's gone on with this, is that you can't trust the government. And so everything they're trying to push out now is things that people are not believing. And now all I see is that every time these guys open their mouth, it's costing me something. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be a very, very, very wicked 2022 for the Democrats. But we're going to get a test here next week with Virginia. And I'm sitting here right now, Dave. My sister lives in Virginia Beach. I'm visiting my mom and my sister out here. And there's a lot of interest in this race. And so it's going to be our first test. I think that Republicans already won a couple off-cycle elections, but this is the big one. McAuliffe had this thing in the bag 6 months ago. He was up 5 or 6 points. Virginia trends 5 or 6 points, and now he's falling behind. I think now it's within margin of error. And what I'm told is that there's a lot of very, very upset people here.
My answer is yeah. And the reason I say that is because you have Loudoun County that now Merrick Garland has interjected himself into with school board protests and saying, if you do this, you're going to be considered to be a domestic terrorist and we can invoke the Patriot Act. And I'm thinking, OMG. And then we looked into it and then we found out that Garland's protecting the turf of his son-in-law and daughter because they're the owners of critical race theory through Panorama Education. And this is now getting out to the voters. And McAuliffe came out, to your point. He came out, and prior to this revelation, he said, parents, you don't have a right to tell school boards what they're going to teach your kid. Just shut up, sit down, do what you're told. And now he's feeling the vehemence. In fact, Obama said yesterday in the campaign trail, parents, don't listen to these objecting people that are going to school boards. They're not doing anything wrong. They're losing this argument badly, badly.
Yeah, my philosophy on this, and I'll get my first test on it next week, is that I believe let's assume that the elections were reasonably fair for Trump. Okay, the area in which he lost most support was the suburban mom vote.
Exactly.
Okay, they felt that he was a little too astringent. Now, what the Democrats have done, instead of embracing that swing voter, they totally made Trump look like a saint. You know, if you think about this for a moment, is that moms protect their kids, mama bear, we call it, right? Mama bear protects the kid at all costs. Now they're telling mama bear she can't be involved in her child. She can't be involved in her child's medical. She can't be involved in her child's education. She won't have money to get her kids to sports or plays or whatever. Okay, mom can't buy food for the kids. So mom's sitting there saying, wait a minute, I thought the Democratic Party was my friend. And in addition, but what they're doing is they declared war on me. Well, the mama bears came out at the school boards, and you can't threaten a mama bear. You know, you start putting mothers in prison for school board activities, the country will go into it in a rage. And so I would love for them to overstep that. They thought they can intimidate them. This was an intimidation tactic. It wasn't ever going to happen. And now that they've made this threat so credible that it just pissed even more people off.
Oh yeah,
so I think they're
going
to lose that vote. And I think that's it. The mother, they can't ever say they're for the children. They can't ever say they're for the mothers. They can't say they can't even say they're for the black people because the black people are unvaccinated, right? So it's like one thing. BLM just turned on them in New York. They're now protesting. Okay, so I mean, their entire constituency they basically turned on for this progressive whatever this thing they're trying to do.
I know they absolutely have. And there's another mitigating factor in Virginia, which I think is becoming a bellwether symbol for the country, in that Loudoun County had two sexual assaults against female students under very controversial conditions. And the school board and the superintendent covered it up, transferred the perpetrator to a second high school where it happened again, and then claimed they knew nothing about it. And this is blowing up across the country. I get so many emails on this, Bob. It's incredible. And this is serving to galvanize not Loudoun County, but the entire country.
Yeah, I mean, they can't keep our kids safe, you know, and then they lie about it. They become an entity unto themselves. Well, Loudoun County you tends to vote blue. So I think that's a big issue. And look, all I have is Fairfax County in Virginia, Fairfax County and Richmond. And so if they could suppress the votes because people aren't going to be interested in supporting McAuliffe, when I mean suppress the vote, I'm talking about a natural suppression of people not going out, is going to be huge. And I know the Republican Party is knee deep in watching everything in Fairfax right now because that's where the 2 a.m. activity is likely to happen. So, but yeah, but if the Republicans take Virginia, I think it changes the entire chessboard. Okay, it's the Biden agenda is gone. You know, we may go into a detente, you know, which may keep the country from going, you know, off the rails.
Yeah, and we hear Bob is in the au naturel settings here, granting his interview. So you're going to occasionally hear some background noise. We just got to put that
Yeah, well, I'm sitting
aside.
next to, I'm next to Oceana Naval Air Station, so you're watching F-22s flying over our head here. My brother-in-law is Navy, and so we're right next to the F-22 base.
Oh my. Well, a lot of those planes could soon be headed to the South China Sea. Which, let me ask you this. We've done a number of reports in the last several months on our conflict with China. Has there been any developments in that area from your perspective?
Yeah, I think Xi is starting to. I think he's starting to back off. You know, I think there's, you know, b behind the scenes in China, I think there is a struggle for power. I think Xi tried to grab the brass ring, just like the Biden administration's tried to grab the brass ring here, and both have fallen short. And you know, what people don't understand about China's not monolithic as we think. You know, they definitely have their mandarins, and there is a group of people in power in China that want to have normalized relations with the United States. They just want to get rich, right? And he tried to leverage that advantage into political capital, and I think he now is looking at a debt crisis in China. He's looking at energy crisis in China. He's looking at food crisis in China. You know, he's looking at, you know, the Three Gorges Dam is, I think, 9 meters from full, and we're going into some wet season in China. You know, and then he's looking at basically the entire rim around China now is girded against his expansionism. And so, you know, all he needs now is either a famine or a recession. And he puts that country on its heels. You know, they made an announcement. They want people that are living in the cities to go back to their ancestral births. So they're trying to get people out of these cities before they become unemployed and hungry. You know, that will cause rioting. And that's how close it is. You know, I saw this great cartoon. It shows one like taskmaster and 5,000 people, and they're all on their knees. So he's in charge. Then 50 people stand up. He's still in charge. Then 500 stand up, and he's on his knees. And I think that's what China fears, is that there's a tipping point in these societies that you lose control. And he's now in a situation where there's a lot of events that can tip him into out of power.
That's really, wouldn't there be a rebellion against the whole regime at that point?
Yeah, yes, of course. And you know, they all go down, and I think that's what these other mandarins are probably saying. Hey, either we get this guy to back off, or we have to replace him because you know, like I said, you can't control a nuclear explosion, you know, and that's I think that's where we are in a lot of places around the world. So they push things to the end. And you know, one really interesting one, Dave, it's kind of related, but it's a different country. The United Kingdom, Boris Johnson, he's not a stupid guy. And what he did when he saw the energy crisis go against him, he went ahead and embraced nuclear. He turned lemons into lemonade and basically said, we're going to be the hydrogen exporting capital of the world. We're going totally nuclear. And we've talked about this before. Uranium is my number one, number one, number one. And a whole country decides to underpin their country. Japan is going back to girding on nuclear too. And the reason why this is happening, Dave, not just because of this crisis, is if you can't create your own energy and create your own food, as a nation, you're a vassal of somebody else. And
That's true.
so, yeah, so I think you're going to see a lot more of this, and that's why energy has been such a big part of what we're doing here at Trade Genius. And look at today. I mean, we are up skyrocketing today. Energy's up again. Uranium's up again. You got the Bitcoin miners up again. You got copper up again. You know, I'm just looking at this thing one after the after the other after the other. You know, it's just natural gas is up again. So, you know, people are recognizing that this is where it's going. And this is where, you know, you have to stay ahead of the inflation by being in these assets. You're not going to make it if you're just going to be in regular old mom and pop ETFs. You're going to get steamrolled.
Yeah, but unless people are listening to a broadcast like this, they're going to have no way of understanding the concept. Because what you're saying is what's causing great pain with great inflation is something that you need to attach yourself to if you're going to match the rise in prices.
Exactly. It's the old walking in the woods with your friend and a bear shows up and you sit down, put your sneakers on, because all you have to do is outrun your friend. Okay? And that's the same thing what we have here. Is you have to make sure that your portfolio and your life is structured around staying ahead of the inflation monster so that you can actually get ahead in this situation and be prepared for when inflation then flips into deflation.
I love that analogy. I'm gonna steal that from you, Bob. That's a great analogy.
Oh yeah, well you're welcome to have it.
That really is. I mean, I was thinking of it like one step ahead of the burning bridge, but that's even a better analogy. You know, the one thing that it strikes me funny about the Biden administration is they're losing on every single thing they're doing. There's not one victory. I mean, they could be like the Detroit Lions of a few years ago that didn't win an NFL football game in their season. And yet they seem resistant to making any change to curry favor with the people. Buying off their Democratic donors, I don't know, will be enough.
I just don't understand the logic behind, you know, either they think they can cheat their way through this or they can overwhelm the process, but there's not a single thing that anybody is embracing. I mean, his approval rating among independents is down under 30%.
I know.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. And why he continues down this path, I think, you know, part of it, Biden was never really a smart guy, okay? You know, he just was always with the party in power. And now he has no strategic insight, and he has no foreign policy success. And now that he has dementia, you know, you have Susan Rice, you know, an ideologue basically running the country. And so what does she care? You know, she's not harmed by it as long as she's... Her and Nancy Pelosi and those guys are benefiting personally from all this chaos. What do they care? You know, Biden's going to take the fall. He's going to look like an idiot in history. I can't believe his wife, Jill, is not like all over this because she's the protector of his integrity, you know. And so I think what's happening now, Dave, you know, I see it with Fauci, too. They're setting up Biden. They put him on that show, whatever it is, his town hall. It was an abortion. And then now with Fauci, they're leaking the stuff about the puppies, you know?
Oh, I know.
You can't get people mad about killing your kids with a jab, but you kill puppies, goodbye, you know? So I think they're going to bounce Biden and they're going to bounce Fauci out going into next year so that they can be the ones, the fall guys for the midterms, and everybody could say, yeah, we were against those guys, you know, and they're going to try to do whatever they can to salvage the midterms. But that's my view.
Yeah, I know. And we'll just say this for the record here because of the venue that we're on. The debarking of the dogs has nothing to do with medical intervention, but people are pissed because, you know, I've seen this in movies. People will cry over the dead pet, but won't cry over the dead child. And I've seen that in the movies, and I think this is going to really piss off America as they find this out. I mean, and here's the thing. America didn't get pissed when Fauci lied to Rand Paul. He lied. You know, whether or not where the truth lies, I'm not even sure where the truth lies, except Fauci contradicted himself clearly in Senate testimony. And where the truth lies, I have no idea. But no consequences for him. But the thing is with this puppy thing, I don't think this can be overstated, Bob. I think that people are going to grab onto this and go crazy. In fact, when my son called me last night to ask me a couple questions about things, he said, "Oh, by the way, did you see about the dog thing?" That was the first thing he said to me. And
Oh, there's already pictures out.
I know. It's incredible. It does speak to character, though. And I think what this says is, okay, we're entrusting the nation's health in a critical area to a man who tortures
Kills
dogs.
puppies. Yep.
That's what's come out. And that's where the credibility issues. I don't see how they can't make a change. Now, I think they have to make a change in medical leadership. Maybe you bring back Burks, who knows? But I'm just saying he cannot be allowed to continue from the Democratic point of view because he's doing more harm than good with this revelation.
Yeah, I mean, what a commercial it would be. We entrust the man to save our children, and he kills puppies.
Yeah, I know, I know.
He kills not even puppies, he's killing Snoopy.
And we could even argue the saving of the children is a noble thing, but it's tainted by the character of the man who's doing the saving, and that's the crazy thing here. But anyway, before we get in trouble, we better move on because some topics are just verboten. But notice here, we did not criticize medical treatment. We're criticizing character. And there's a lot of bad character going on inside the administration. There really is. I mean, I could point to so many unfair aspects of what they're doing to people. Yeah, I'm going to give you an example. They'll throw money at the workers to keep them home in kind of a universal basic income approach, but with rising oil costs and home heating oil for this winter, and elderly people on fixed incomes are going to be forced to choose to eat or heat. Where's the relief for these people? He can give $5 billion to the NEA in stimulus money, but he can't help elderly people keep from freezing to death or starving to death.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I think this cake is baked. They can't stop what's going to happen this winter. I mean, he all but admitted it. He said there's nothing I can do about it in the short term. So I think people are going to have to buckle down for a
Bob, I
pretty long.
disagree with that statement, though. There is something he can do. Take back the damn money you gave to the NEA, which is your fundraising mechanism among the liberals, and give it to elderly to offset their utility increases. That's what I would do.
Yeah, but I'm saying he won't do that. That's what I'm saying. He'd
Well, then
already
he
come out and said
deserves
there's
the
nothing.
consequences that comes with this.
Yeah.
Because when we start seeing stories in December about people being pulled out of their apartments dead. How old are they? They're 77, fixed income, couldn't heat their home, they froze to death. What do you think the public's going to do then?
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll do something. We need to have some consequences to these policies.
They really are. Well, you know, one thing I want to look at too, because they do affect us, European financial policies. I'm seeing things that I think are the far side of lunacy with Europe. It's almost like they're trying to collapse their own economy. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's suicidal. It's just like we're down with Jim Jones here, and everybody's getting the Kool-Aid out. I don't if the people think the things are flying ahead of them, they can't. They're on a roller coaster. They don't know how to get off. But I mean, what Europe is doing is just it boggles the mind. And here in the United States, we're going to probably be able to recover from this, but Europe is so far down the rabbit hole. Look at here's energy is one thing, but here's the other thing. Their GDP is tied so heavily to their auto industries, and with what's going on with energy costs and what's going on with magnesium and with lithium and with copper and cobalt, is that it may destroy their entire export markets. And Europe is mercantilist. If they can't export, they're dead. And the whole thing just collapses. And so it's gonna be something to watch. That's what I always told people, is that America won't fall first, Europe's gonna go first. And we're gonna be able to watch the horror show, and hopefully we'll have enough time to reverse course.
What do you think we'll do when that collapse comes? Because it is coming.
what do you think the United States would do,
Yeah,
or
I
what I
mean,
would
sorry.
like
Yeah, what is our government going to do when Europe crashes? Because they're going to crash and burn. Let me back up, and I'm going to give some evidence for this. We're already seeing proof of this in Greece, where they froze the accounts, allegedly, of 36 corrupt bankers. But now that list is growing, and growing, and growing. And I think they're getting ready to do a bail-in, but they're trying to do it incrementally and hoping no one will notice.
Yeah, I think what they're going to do in United States, if Europe goes, is they're going to try to double down on villainizing the wealthy and try to look. They try to do the social credit system through the vax mandates. That's getting a lot of resistance. They're going to probably try to go down this route now through the tax the unrealized gain aspect of it, and they're going to say, "See, Europe fell because of their billionaires." And so that we have to get in front of this. And so they never changed their mantra. Remember, it's like, you know how a zip tie works, right? You keep pulling like a boa constrictor, it never releases its grip, it just makes it tighter and tighter. Well, these true believers will never change their way of thinking. They're just gonna try to keep doubling down and changing the narrative. So they're gonna keep trying to push for more of this, equalizing of incomes. The reason why it's not working is because the rich have screwed us. We got to get back at the rich. So I think it's going to be that kind of mantra, but I don't think it's going to work. I think a lot of people in this country don't really care that the rich are rich, as long as the rich don't keep telling us what to do. I think the social media rich people are probably in trouble. Look at Facebook and stuff like that. But people like they people want in America want to become rich. So they don't want to villainize something they want to become. Europe's already past that. Those people wake up when they come out of high school, they already know their station in life. In America, most people don't feel they have that limitation yet. And until they do, I think those kind of policies are going to fail, the policies of retribution. But Europe will be in big trouble. Big trouble.
How will that impact us?
Well, it'll affect our export markets, but I think it'll just further, I think, cause isolation. I don't think it's an accident, Dave, that the Five Eyes are trying to form an Anglo bloc. I think America and the United Kingdom already see that. I don't think it's an accident that the Nordic countries are rallying around their own way of doing things. I think they see, Southern Europe basically imploding, and I'm talking Spain, France, Italy, Greece. That environment. You see, the Eastern European countries are starting to, lack a better word, balkanize back to each other, right? They're starting to resist what's happening in the Netherlands and in Belgium. And at
Poland
some
has told
point,
the EU to go to hell.
yeah, Poland and Hungary and Romania and those countries are like, hey, you guys don't have the moral authority. And so I think you're going to see basically Europe disintegrate and go back to blocks. And I think the United States has already, 'cause even China even mentioned that they're worried about basically the Anglo, I call it Anglo II, right? It's the Anglo countries plus India and Israel. And that's going to be a formidable economic bloc. And then, Japan and Korea will be part of that as
Yeah,
well.
exactly, and that's already happening.
Exactly. And they're already formalizing it. I don't know if you noticed this, but American fighter jets flew off a Japanese aircraft carrier.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're already. That was just basically to show the Chinese that, hey, we're integrating our military capabilities across our allies. And that's just another platform out there. So you're going to have, I think that's where the future is. I think that's going to be. We're going to basically break into blocks again. And I think America is recognizing that with.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that. But excuse me, I wonder what you thought about immigration's effect on our economy. What's going to happen with this, short term and long term?
Well, I think at some point, I mean, you can't keep importing people that have no skills in an
Exactly.
environment where no skills aren't needed, So, it's not like we could plug these people into jobs that can't be filled, right? And so I think there's going to be probably a pushback. You're already seeing it in the Hispanic communities. They're resenting the fact that they're sticking these people right back into our communities because language and so on and so forth. And so it's causing, basically competition for jobs and prices and resources and crime. And I think that's the other reason why the Hispanic community has been balking so heavily against this administration on this. And I think that's why they try to push in the Haitians in to say, hey, look, the white people hate black people, pitch. You know what I mean? They're only letting them in because they're black, just try to agitate the black vote again. But that works the same way there. All those Haitians are going to find their way down into Miami, and they're just going to cause chaos and resentment there too.
Yeah, I just, but the effect on, here's the concern I have. I want you to address this. The effect on education with just sheer numbers of students, and the fact now that they're not going to be English speaking primarily. And then the second thing that we're looking at here is the effect on infrastructure, the use of roads, free medical at hospitals. How can hospitals absorb giving out free care at their own expense? Can you talk about that a little bit and what you expect to see happen in the next couple of
Yeah,
years?
it's just going to be another assault on the mothers, right? And people that are paying $20,000 a year for medical care can't get the medical care because the Biden administration invited everybody in for free medical care. And I think you're already starting to see that. You're already seeing that refugees make more money than the average person, than the average retiree. So it's becoming more and more visible to people that you're just being screwed. And I think it's going to affect people's, way they vote and the way they think and the way they process. And I'm sorry, they're just flying right
I
overhead
can
here.
hear it. So, well, let me interject with this question here. I'm taking not an absolute, but a mostly anti-incumbent attitude, and let me tell you why. And I don't want to turn this too political. I want to stay on the economic side, but I think one affects the other here. With all the bad things the Democrats are doing to the economy, to the society, to the culture, to the schools, to foreign policy, alienation of allies, all these things that they've done wrong, what I'm not seeing is action from the Republicans. Oh, they're real good at going on Fox News and, oh, how horrible, the shame of it all. But then when it comes to the floor of the Senate or the House, I don't see anything. Well, we're not in the majority. That's an excuse. Get to work. Get some converts. And they're not doing their job. And I think they need to be ousted in the primaries. Dave Hodges, Radical View Expressed. Bob, feel free to criticize.
No, what the Republican parties are doing, they're employing a political philosophy is staying away from your neighbor, when he's committing suicide, your political neighbor. And so they're just letting Biden and those guys choke on their own. And so they don't want to become targets themselves of anything confrontational. So that's what you're seeing here. Whether we agree with it or not, that's what they're doing. And they figure they got 2022 in the bag, and they're going to do it with the least amount of disruptions to, their donor class. But I think what's going to happen is I think a lot of these guys are going to get, at least on the House side, a lot of these guys that are not doing enough are going to get primaried out. So I think you're going to see like another kind of Newt Gingrich kind of, political revolution, at least in the House. The Senate, not so much, but I think they're going to have a working majority there anyway. I think Manchin and Semina are holding the vanguard, and then once Republicans get one more vote, those guys are going to reliably vote with the majority.
That's
So
really
we just get mad because they're not defending our interests.
well, yeah. From my standpoint, you've got a totally open border. You got fentanyl killing Americans as a result, unabashed child trafficking. These facts aren't in dispute. I mean, the government admits to this stuff, except for some of the leaders in Senate testimony say there's no crisis at the border, but everyone knows there is. And Biden is aiding and abetting criminal activity by not enforcing border laws, and then the follow-up crimes that come with that, he's aiding and abetting that by neglect. See, I don't care if it fails or not. If the Republicans were worth their salt, they'd be drawing up articles of impeachment right now. Now, I know what Pelosi would do. I fully know that. But you've got to make a stand, Because if you don't, you piss off Americans like me that say, screw you, I'm voting you out in the primary.
I think, if I can humbly disagree, is that I think they're so worried about the independent vote not coming their way that they won't do any of that. Okay, you and I are true believers, and we expect them to be aggressive, but that's not the vote they're after. They're after that independent vote to say, oh, the Republicans are just like the Democrats. Look, they're already doing impeachment. They're not going to be any better. Democrats are going to tell them that, and then they're going to say, yeah, you know what? I think I'm just going to work with what I got. So I think that's not going to happen. You and I would want to breathe fire on them, but from a political standpoint, they're just not going to upset that apple cart. They're simply going to go to those independent voters and say, see, our hands were tied. Put us in power, and this is what we're going to fix.
Yeah, you're
And
talking to
that's.
an old coach. I don't accept excuses.
Yeah, no.
And I support your disagreement with me in philosophy. I do. I think what you said made a lot of sense. But what I'm also saying too, there's a time that you're in the Alamo, you got to draw a line in the sand, make a stand. And what we have is a total lack of courage, leadership, moral character that's missing from the Republican Party.
Yeah, they
And I
may
got to
not
tell
be.
you, the corruption here in the Arizona Republican Party are in areas that I can't talk about here on this broadcast, but the corruption is off the charts, and there's no difference between our Republicans in this state than there is in the Democrats. They're equally corrupt.
Yeah. Well, I'm not defending him. I'm just trying to give you. I'm just trying to
Yeah,
give
I
you a
hear what you're
landscape.
saying. I hear what you're saying, that they want to go after the independent vote. But what they've done is they've pissed off people like me, that I'm now calling for moving people out of the primaries. But I'll tell you, there's a danger in that too, Bob. I was working with a lady named Marilyn Rupar a few years ago, and we discovered, and this was Bernie Sanders people, this is really well documented, this is not controversial. They were recruiting people not just to be progressive Democrats and unseat conservative Democrats in primaries. We know about that, and that's Ocasio-Cortez's rise to fame. But they were also recruiting people to be pretend Republicans, and they were really Democrats. And they ran them as Republicans. They said the right things. They got in, started doing Democrat things. Like the mayor of Kingman, Arizona, is a classic example where they've tried to recall her. And this went on all over the country. And my fear is if my strategy and my feelings don't change, and I want to see these people out in the primaries, we could end up with George Soros-sponsored Democrats pretending to be Republicans.
Well, I think the primaries are going to be where the action is. The other thing, Steve Bannon's group's been very effective now on working everything at the local level. That's why the Democrats are so pissed off, is that they're going to go into all these school boards for these next elections. They're going to go into all the local races and try to build, a more aggressive Republican base from the bottom up. And I think that's what's going to have to happen. And maybe these politicians are misreading the tea leaves, that people are pissed off enough to do a tsunami. But I think I think that's where it is. I'm not defending it. Look, my House representative is he's doing everything I can ask of him. So I'm limited to only that, and I can only encourage other people to encourage their representative to do the right thing by being engaged. I'm hopeless on my senators because I live in a blue state, but I live in a red district. So all you can do is just you have to constantly be nudging your representative and declaring your displeasure on things, and then you just have to take it from there.
Yeah, my rep is like what you're describing. He was one of the 11 people that who wrote a letter to the DOJ demanding action against Hillary Clinton for the emails. I mean, he's been out in front on a lot of issues, and I'm talking about Paul Gosar, and he's been on my show a few times. I would vote for him, but I got to tell you, there ain't 10 people out there that I'd vote for right now that'll be running as Republicans, because I think they've betrayed their mission. And I know what you're saying. They got to win the independents to win the election, as is their belief. But I think the independents are already going to walk away from the Democrats anyway.
Yeah.
I think if there were articles of impeachment drawn up today in the House, I don't think the independents are going to blink an eye. I think it would wake more of them up.
Well, depending on who you impeach, I would go, if I took over, the first thing I would do is try to you get Fauci fired, and then you start working up, you work up the chain. You know, you put, you do a, you do an ethics thing on Pelosi. You know, you have to work, you got to work up to the thing. Impeaching Biden's irrelevant because we're going to get Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I know. I know, and what I'm saying is mostly symbolic. You just nailed the criticism correctly. You were absolutely right. But the thing is you have to have a unifying stand, I believe, to go into the election. And an impeachment could do that. I also recognize, too, it could be polarizing. But the thing is I wonder how dire straits the country is going to be in a year. I mean, economically speaking, Bob, let's bring this back to economics, because we've created the political crisis. I think the economic crisis could be worse, and I'm hoping you'll say something to make me sleep better.
Oh, well, I mean, the only thing I can ever do is you got to stay ahead of the train. So I can't control 90% of this, but what I can control is where my investments are, and control where my spending is, and control the safety of my family. And that's, those are things that I'm doing. And I know we have a couple minutes left, you know, but people want to trade with us, you know, come to Trade Genius, trade like
a
genius.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into that a little bit right now too, because, you know, I grew up hearing from my dad, it's not the money that you make, son, that's as important as the money that you keep. And he tried to teach me a little bit about investments when I was in high school. And I think it kind of gave me a head start in this business. But you're absolutely right. We need to take a look at what we're doing with our money. And what I like that you do is not only are people putting their money in a safe place, it's also simultaneously productive to creating income.
Yeah. And so, you know, what we've done is, you know, we've been trading stocks and crypto and in options market, and we have bundles for each of those. And we've been early on the crypto train. I mean, my partner has been trading since 2011. We've never wavered, you know, and look, you know, Bitcoin made a new high. It's going to probably break out of this consolidation at the highs and move higher. The crypto miners are telling us that when the stock market, we trade all these things, folks. And we're having a spectacular today. I'm sitting there. My personal portfolio is up, you know, 3%. It's not an insignificant portfolio. And so, which is a pretty big day, you know, and individually, some of the things that we're buying today are up 25-30%. And so, you know, if you go in and go to tradelegacygenius.com, we have bundles for stocks, for crypto, for options, and they're already pre-discounted, or you can use promo code Halloween for the prices of good till 30th, this Saturday before Halloween, and you get 40% off anything in the store that's not already pre-bundled. And I think you'll like what we do. Our prices are very reasonable, and we'll teach you to trade. We'll teach you our system. We'll give you access to our system's tools, and we'll give you trades every day. And in that environment, we'll put you in a position to be successful.
That's really good. I mean, well, how are people doing with Trade Genius? I mean, the people that you got in there now, I get good reports from my audience that have joined your group, but generally, how are they doing?
Yeah, so I mean, as of today, you know, our win rate is 65.19%. Our average gain per trade is 2%. We're in a trade of average of 3 days, which points out to a 207.06% annualized gain in the trades that we give you. So to the extent you're fully invested with Trade Genius, you'll get a percentage of that. So that's pretty damn good.
Now, your entry into what you want to do with Trade Genius, if you say, I want to walk in, I want to become part of what you do, they have to come in through buying into the non-bundled or bundled items, correct?
That's correct.
And that's where the discounts come in. But tell me, what happens in those bundles? What's the purpose of that? What can people expect?
Well, they would immediately get the training videos on how we trade and how our system works. They immediately get available to them the indicators and the algorithms so that they can actually start trading those on the stocks that they like to trade. They get access to our chat rooms immediately, where they can actually talk to myself or my partner in terms of what's going on, and with each other in terms of stocks and crypto. And then every day we put out a couple trades so that we can, here, these are things that are hitting our list. We like these. These are trades that I think you should consider taking. And we do that with stocks and we do that with cryptos.
This is so much different than what I hear from some of my friends and colleagues. They're involved in the market and they're kind of going lockstep with these investment strategies, but I'm not hearing this kind of interaction. Is what you do there and like in the chat room and the training videos and so forth, is that unique to Trade Genius?
Yeah, nobody does what we do. So we're all encompassing, and a big difference of what we do is we actually give you specific trades. We also then teach you our system, and we also interact with you. And people may do portions of those things, but we're fully engaged. And we've been doing this a long time. This is not like a new service. I've been doing this since with Trade Genius since 2015. I've been doing it with private trading well before that. So this is the system that works. It's consistent. Doesn't matter what the market does. The algorithm looks at buying pressure, and so if the market collapses, it's going to look at buying pressure on things that we can short. So it's there's always opportunities in the market.
That's pretty amazing. Now, in terms of if we were trying to explain to the public, why does Trade Genius work better than virtually every regular broker investment firm?
Well, I mean, they suffer from the large law of large numbers, and so they're protecting a bigger average, and so I don't have that restriction on me. They're restricted to, their legal teams of saying that, we don't care if we lose money as long as we lose money at the same rate as all our peers are losing money, so that way we can't get sued. So they're playing defense, we're playing offense.
So they're more interested in not getting sued than they are making money. They make money whether the client makes money or not, though, right?
Most of them you get paid by the assets on hand. Some get paid by what's called high water marks, but most of them get paid basically a percentage of the asset. Yeah. So I'm not saying that that's what their overriding goal is, but that's what naturally happens, right? In 2008, the companies that got sued are the ones that lost people money. The ones that didn't get sued say, "Look, we were just even with our peers." And we told the people. So that's why you have every disclosure in the world when you sign up with a managed fund, is that they basically are going to ask your risk tolerance and your age, and they're going to stick you in something that's appropriate. And if you go outside of that, they're going to have you sign saying you understand that you're taking a different risk. So I'm not saying what they do is bad. I'm just saying what we do is different.
I know which one I would prefer. Do these other brokerages, they have chat rooms like you do where the participants can communicate with more experienced people?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they do, but it's not like the same. I mean, I'm sitting in the room, you know what I mean? So, if I see a question come up, I can simply answer it there. It's, you have to call, you have to sign in, you have to, do different things. But yeah, all I can say is that, my philosophy is, I'm a former Marine, is that I don't really compare myself to others because that means I'm slowing down. So,
Okay, that makes sense.
when you're in front, the view looks great. When you're not,
No,
you're looking at somebody
that
else in
does
the
make
rear.
sense. Here's the question I get asked a lot about Trade Genius, and I think it's a bad question. It reminds me when I took over a high school basketball program in my young days, and they hadn't been very successful. And after they hired me, the principal said, "How long will it be till we start winning games?" And I said, "Well, we have to start playing them first." I didn't have a good answer. So, on that light, let me ask you a bad question. When someone joins Trade Genius, what typically is the period of time necessary for them to start making money?
Well, it depends on how they want to approach it, but immediately they could just start taking our trades, and they're going to start enjoying the same win rate that other people are enjoying right away. So they don't have to have any particular skill to take a trade.
Okay.
And so the other thing you do right away is stop making bad decisions. So a lot of people that come to us, are you know, people change their way of doing things if they're successful, right? So people are dissatisfied with the way they're doing
That's
things.
right, and that's how I would agree. That's where people you get your clientele, and I totally agree. I've heard that before. Well,
Yeah.
what you want to do is go to tradelikeagenius.com, and the coupon code is Halloween for the 40% discount on the non-bundled items. The bundled items are already pre-discounted at 65%. It's a great deal. I recommend you take advantage of it. And Bob, thanks so much for a great interview and giving us the state of affairs as they lie.
Hey Dave, thanks for having me.
Take
Talk to you
care.
later.